everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you could be along with us on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Got a full deck for us today. We have several just pretty amazing guests. We have someone who calls himself a recovering tax attorney. He is with FairTax.org. He has worked since 1990 to try to replace the current income payroll tax system. Think about him and some of the ways he says we are wasting our money and wasting our time as we get ready for that April 15th deadline, right? So that is ahead. PI and author and former law enforcement guy, Vincent Hill, will be along talking about the Jesse Smollett case. He is... He follows all these things and appears and breaks down what's going on with cases because he's got this law enforcement background, like I said, PI. And he's going to come in and chat about, oh, boy, the ups and downs with this case. And we'll give you the latest in just a minute. But first, a couple more guests to tell you about. Dr. Michael Mantel. He is the author of The Link Is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's all small stuff. He's going to talk about the myth of time management. Don't we all want to manage our time better? He's going to break it down for us and try to tell us some real ways to get things done. We have to change our thinking a little bit. And then Kristen Sunana Walker from the Mental Health News Radio Network. Could you be something called an empath? Have you heard of this? Someone who sort of strongly takes on the mental or emotional state of another individual? And if you are someone who is like that, it's pretty difficult to navigate life sometimes. So we're going to talk about that with Kristen coming up. And now to the trending news. Besides, we've got Empire actor Jesse Smollett now in custody in Chicago. Police arrested him after announcing he is the suspect in his own fake hate crime that he reported, taking police resources and inciting racial tensions. He, of course, said he was attacked by two white guys in MAGA hats and that they said, this is MAGA country. And this is going on during the polar vortex in Chicago. 2 a.m. Just didn't ring right from the beginning, says law enforcement. And two brothers, indeed, told police that Smollett paid them to stage the assault. He is charged with making false statements to police so far. He could face jail time, had a court appearance this afternoon. Police say he totally staged the attack because he was unhappy with his salary, his big, fat Hollywood salary on Empire. We'll have some sound from the police chief in just a moment. But as you see on Twitter, people are going nuts because Jesse said in some whiny interview he did with Robin Roberts on ABC, I think is the network she's on. He said, you know, people probably came at me because I go hard at 45, meaning Donald Trump. And he acted like this was retribution. So the still we just showed you, Jesse claiming that Trump will be indicted, and now he's indicted. So that's where it stands now. A brand new wave of caravan migrants has arrived just below the U.S. southern border. Ready to cross in, 1,000 or more clashed with officials on the Mexico southern border Wednesday. Police could not hold them back. They finally just let them in. They are camped out near a border wall that Beto O'Rourke wants to take down. He's probably running for president in 2020. There has been a 478% increase in apprehensions this year in El Paso, Texas alone in that sector. 43,238 apprehended in El Paso for fiscal year 2019, which started October 1st. A Duke basketball player's Nike shoe blew out less than a minute into his game. Look at this. Zion Williamson, this is trending like crazy. He tore right through his sneaker. Nike shares are dropping because of this to the tune of $1.2 or $3 billion. Williams has a minor knee sprain. He's not just a player for them. He's supposed to be the next big star, the next LeBron James. Big stuff. Now a little bit of the sound from what Chicago police had to say about what they are calling a hoax in that fake attack story from Jesse Smollett as we head to break.
Before I get started on why we're here, you know, as I look out into the crowd, I just wish that the families of gun violence in this city got this much attention, because that's who really deserves the amount of attention that we're giving to this particular incident. So this morning, I come to you not only as the superintendent of Chicago.
Got a lot coming up on America Trends this hour. Are you an empath? We'll talk about the hazards of having a sort of personality where you take on other people's burdens, probably more than is necessary. That's with Kristen Sinana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And how to manage your time, or the myth of managing your time, with Dr. Michael Mantel. And he is the author of The Link Is What You Think. Vincent Hill will be in to talk about the latest on the Smollett case and the hazards and repercussions and just the ridiculousness of it all. Right now we have Steve Hayes of something called fairtax.org, who's been on before. April 15th is fast approaching. And do you ever just look at the tax code? Probably not, but if you did, I mean, just trying to figure out, it's just, you need a master's degree in it. Steve calls himself a recovering tax attorney who has worked since 1990 to replace the current income payroll tax system with a national retail sales tax, the fair tax. And he is president and chairman of this group. He's testified before Congress and appeared in numerous radio and TV shows, getting his point across. And we welcome Steve back to America Trends. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Amy. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, thank you so much. So how'd you get started? What made you say, I've got to dedicate my life to this? Because each and every person in America, if they're paying their taxes and if they're legal, goes through this. And every year we say, what is even going on with this? Let's just hire someone to do it, because it's just, it's a little bit of nuttiness. Do you really think we can ever simplify the tax code in the United States of America?
Well, it's going to take a lot of people getting behind it, because this is the, it's like a vending machine for politicians and the swamp, the tax code. They delight in doing something that they will then be able to say, now we could fix this or we could leave it alone, hint, hint, and the money comes flowing in. So if we leave it up to Congress, if we leave it up to the swamp, all of the people that know better than we, then there's very little chance, because to them, it really doesn't matter if it works. It doesn't matter if it's an inconvenience for you or me. It doesn't matter if it encourages illegal immigration. It doesn't matter if it sends jobs overseas. What matters is that it's a great way for them to push a button and streams of money come out. And they don't have to do any work. All they have to do is, you know, kind of waggle their finger and say, we may take that away from you, or if you want us to give that to you, you know how to contribute. So in short answer, if a people realize that they don't need it and demand it, then I believe we can. If we leave it up to Congress in D.C., it won't change, even as bad as it gets. And it's going to get much worse because of evasion and because of the number of people who are protesting through evading the taxes, or through the number of people who are going to be working under the table and not even reporting at all.
Oh, sure, because, you know, in physics you learn an object in motion tends to stay in motion. And so if you can add more bureaucratic junk on top of already bureaucratic junk, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and unwieldy. What would our founding fathers think? It's crazy. How do you think... Well, I want to ask you how you think we got here, but I'd rather just ask you first, what exactly do you want to do to our tax code, and how would you enable that?
Well, what we would do is simply have a retail sales tax. The retail sales tax would be at the federal level. Interestingly enough, most people don't realize it, but we came very, very close to having one in World War II, because they were thinking that was the only way they were going to raise enough money to finance the war. And then in the 60s, when there was a lot of talk about possible, let's just say, rebellion against the tax code, the Johnson administration said, what can we do to collect tax? Well, they designed a retail sales tax. So it's not new. 45 states have it. Our proposal would get rid of the income tax, get rid of the payroll tax. We would fund Social Security, not on the backs of the fewer workers, for the more people like me that are of age to get Social Security, but we would fund it through the sales tax, so we'd make it solvent, not insolvent like it is today. And we would do that with a 23% sales tax with a tax credit to allow like a family of four to make $32,000 of purchases free of the fair tax. So it's actually very progressive, and it actually works well because the states already have it. It's very difficult to evade, and we would simply have the states collect it. We'd get rid of the IRS bureaucracy. We'd get rid of all of this industry that does nothing but profit off of the complexity of the code.
Oh, seriously.
We'd have a lot of other advantages, Amy.
Steve Hayes is chairman and president of Americans for Fair Tax. That's fairtax.org. Steve, you've been working for this, though, since 1990. And I just want to know how far you've gotten, because here's the thing. So many members of Congress, I believe, have barely read the Constitution, let alone have any understanding of the tax code. So they need specialists like you to come in, walk them through it, and say, here's the deal. Maybe you should run for Congress. I mean, how are we really? I wonder how we're going to get traction out of this.
Well, the only way is if enough of us constituents, because the swamp and all the people that give them monies for favors, none of those people, or very few of them, will vote in their district. And the one thing that most of them want is to keep their jobs. They love it up there. They love the power. They love the influence. And if we make it a point to really, in their face, say, you've got to get rid of this ridiculous system, you've got to go to something like the fair tax, which is simple, it's fair, and it helps us because it doesn't encourage illegal immigrants to come in here and work under the table. You know, the only people that get the tax credit, Amy, are people with valid Social Security numbers.
Oh, go figure.
So if you take that away,
I said go figure. I mean, wouldn't that be nice, right?
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
And the immigrants who do not have it, that are illegal, everything they buy is going to be 25% higher, 23%. So they're going to end up actually contributing to it. And they're also going to do something interesting, because most people say the wage differential between hiring legally and hiring illegal aliens under the table is only in the 25% to 30%. So we're bringing down the difference, because those immigrants who are working are going to need more money to stay here. So in a direct way, we look at how to handle people who are working under the table, because even if they're a drug dealer, they're going to pay tax on that fancy car. They're going to pay tax on those fancy clothes. It's just going to get collected.
It sounds like there's a lot to it that's good, Steve. You know what? Curbing illegal immigration, removing the need for tariffs, helping American jobs stay here, raising real wages. He is Steve Hayes with the Americans for Fair Taxation, fairtax.org. Look it up. Find out what you need to know. And, Steve, will you keep us posted on all you're doing?
I will certainly do it, Amy. Hope we see you again soon.
You bet. We'll see you soon. Thanks for all you're doing. And up next, Vincent Hill on the Smollett case.
I'm offended by what's happened, and I'm also angry. I love the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department, warts and all. But this publicity stunt was a scar that Chicago didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve. To make things worse, the accusations within this phony attack received national attention for weeks. Celebrities, news commentators, and even presidential candidates weighed in on something that was choreographed by an actor.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson speaking today. If you're watching this on Thursday, our first iteration of America Trends. The Smollett case blowing up, all these ups and downs over recent days since he said he was attacked by two white men in MAGA hats in the wee early morning, who said to him, this is MAGA country. Allegedly, I don't know, beat him up a bit, he said, then put a noose around his neck. Then he went home, waited for police, and they arrived, and there was still a noose around his neck. Apparently, police thought from the start there was something very fishy about this story. And in fact, Jesse Smollett, an actor on Empire, who police chief says he did this hoax because he wasn't happy with his salary on the show. And this is after he also sent himself a nasty letter, a hate mail letter, that didn't get him the attention he wanted. So that's what police say he did to lead up to all this. We're here with Vincent Hill right now. He's been following this case. He follows a lot of cases and speaks to them. He's former law enforcement, PI, served his country and in the military. He is the author of Playbook to a Murder. And Vincent, we welcome you back. And I'm just so interested to hear what you thought even from the get-go when you heard this accusation from Smollett. And let's not forget his tearful interview, Academy Award winner, not really, sort of fake, talking to Robin Roberts on ABC.
Right. Hey, how are you doing, Amy? Listen, from the beginning, I spoke out about this case, even on my podcast. This past week, I was on Fox and Friends up in New York.
Nice.
From the beginning, this never made sense. I mean, you look at it, it was a polar vortex, the coldest night of the year in Chicago. What would be the chances that, A, he would even go out to Subway to get a sandwich after just landing from a flight where I'm sure he had a meal either at the airport or on the plane? And then what would be the chances in a city that's 98% liberal Democrats, you would find these two Trump supporters in Chicago at 2 a.m. that happen to know Jesse Smollett is walking around in the street? Slim to none, pretty much impossible, Amy. So that's why I knew from the beginning the story never made sense.
Interesting, right? It's not exactly MAGA country there. And in fact, they do believe that these two Nigerian brothers, whom are extras, or one is an extra and one is something else on Empire, that he hired. Mm-hmm. There's video footage we've seen everywhere of them in a store buying some the mask and then a MAGA hat all at once. What do you think that clerk was thinking? It's just bizarre. So they, during their 47th hour of their 48-hour hold with the police, they finally admitted and said, "Here's what happened. He did it.
Yeah,
he staged it. We practiced it, right?"
Yeah, that's right. Not only did they rehearse it, I mean, Smollett was crazy enough to write a $3,500 check out of his personal account, which was deposited into one of the brothers' accounts. This is what we're learning from the indictment.
No, I didn't even know that part yet, Vincent. Are you kidding me?
That's right. We also just heard from the acting state's attorney, who read pretty much the entire case. Not only did they plan this attack, these brothers apparently were suppliers for Smollett for the drug, the street drug, Molly. So not only did they have a history of working on Empire and being a personal trainer, and I said on my podcast, I bet there's another aspect of this relationship. I said that last night, and now we learn they were actually his drug supplier as well. So this whole story is ridiculous. And look, you talked about his act on Good Morning America. And one of the things I noticed, if he wasn't involved, I said it then, when he said, "Well, I saw this," and he pointed to the eye area and the nose, the bridge of the nose, to suggest he saw what race they were. If that was true, if he wasn't involved in this, Amy, he would have gone to police and said, "Oh, yeah, they were yelling MAGA country," which nobody believes, but they were African-American, because you cannot hide the fact two individuals from Nigeria with Nigeria backgrounds, when you look and you say their eyes and the bridge of their nose, you know exactly what nationality they are. But the fact that he didn't do that, it told me immediately he was in on it. And then he says on Good Morning America, when they show the steel image of those guys, yeah, those are the guys that jumped me. Of course he knew those were the guys that jumped him, because it was orchestrated.
Listen, I watched season one of Empire, and I thought he did a decent job, but the act on Good Morning America, awful. He's not getting an award from me. So right now he's charged with making false statements to police, so there's that. Mm-hmm. The FBI, or I think feds, could come in because of the letter that he wrote. So what's going to happen now? What could this all mean, and what kind of jail time could he face?
Well, listen, the 3 years in Chicago, or in Illinois, I should say, for the class four felony of filing a false police report, 1 to 3 years, $25,000 fine, 2 years probation. Really, that's the least of his worries, Amy, because he sent a letter through the U.S. Postal Service to commit fraud. That is called mail fraud. And then he put white powder, which we now know was crushed up aspirin, in there. So if you add a terroristic threat into that, which was his intent of the letter, that is 25 years in federal prison. So if he's lucky, he just does the 3 years. But if the feds really want to press this, which I personally think they should, he should not be above the law because he's a celebrity and because he's gay and because he's black. That has nothing to do with it. The fact is, he did a crime. He did an awful crime. He did an injustice to everybody in this country that is a victim of hate crimes, not just blacks, not just gays, but it happens to white people. It happens to Hispanics. It happens to Asians, fat people, skinny people. There's people always getting assaulted for some reason because someone doesn't like what they are, what they stand for, who they are. So he did an injustice to this entire country.
Everybody. The list goes on. The list goes on. Even the people, the MAGA people, anyone who supports Trump, they have enough issues. You can't even wear a hat in society today without worrying about being assaulted, being verbalized. And so he is stirring up racial tensions. What if there would have been race riots? What if They would have found two white dudes in the area, and they would have been arrested. He would have said, yeah, that's them, right?
You know what? You know what, Amy? I thought that as well earlier today. Had there just happened to have been these two random white guys walking down the street, and then they get arrested for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then everyone, especially the mainstream media, look at these guys. You know, look what they did to this poor black actor who happens to be gay. Imagine the ramifications of that had that happened. And all of these celebrities that came out, we're in support of Jesse Smollett, and people on social media, we're in support, who didn't really actually stop to think, hey, maybe something's not right. But what they did was they wanted to use this as a political agenda. You look at Kamala Harris. Oh, this is a modern day lynching. And then when she had to backtrack, she's on the news. We should wait for the facts. Well, people should have waited for the facts from the beginning in this case. Unfortunately, they didn't. And anyone that has any type of common sense, and you can separate your politics from reality, anyone that can do that, they knew from the beginning that this whole story was made up.
It's diabolical. They put 24 cops on this.
Right.
Now, this is during the polar vortex. They had other things to deal with. People dying, people freezing. Chicago Murder Incorporated. I think there was a child, a little baby.
A one-year-old.
Right. So you have all these other real crimes. What does this say? Gosh, we're out of time, Vincent. But the fact that they put 24 on them, this is just a mess.
Yeah, absolutely, Amy. I mean, a tragedy all the way around.
Well, I know you'll be keeping us up to date on the case, Vincent. We sure do appreciate you when you come on here.
All right, Amy, good to see you, always.
We'll see you next time. P.I. Vincent Hill, author of Playbook to a Murder, talking about the Jesse Smollett case. He is now charged and in police custody. Back after this with Dr. Mantell. Hey, it's time for Dr. Michael Mantell, the author of The Link is What You Think and the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And when we say it's time, we're talking about time management today. Does this pursue you in your thoughts? How to manage time, get more done, be more productive? You know, you probably need some me time in the first place. But Dr. Mantell is the one that will tell us. Excuse me while I move the pillow a little bit. Sorry, guys. That was very bad time management. Dr. Mantell will be the first one to tell you that it might be a myth if you're trying to, in fact, manage your time in the way that we're used to. Welcome back, Doc.
Good to be here. It's a joy, always. So let's talk about time management. It is a myth. Why is it a myth? Because we don't manage time. You and I and 110 million people watching right now have the same 24 hours every day.
Oh, you're kidding. Because I have people that say, I'm busy.
All right.
Are you too busy? And I'm like, well, I think we all have the same amount of time.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
So we don't manage time. What we do is we reveal what we value in life.
I love this.
That's what we do when we manage ourselves in time. Ben Franklin's asked a great question. Do you love your life? And if so, don't squander it. So ask yourself this question, very simply. What's the most important thing for me to do right now? Do you think in terms of, oh my God, I have to get this done, I have to get this done? No. You probably think like I do, I am blessed to be able to do this. I'm blessed to be able to do this. So after the show, I've got clients to see, then I've got a column to write, okay?
Oh,
but these are things I get to do. So I'm not in a crunch, and I want to help people understand what healthy management of self in time leads to, and that's the first slide that I want to show people.
Manage time, manage yourself.
Right.
In time.
And that will help you reduce stress, improve sleep, improve your attitude, improve stamina, and extend life. Everyone wants to know, well, how do I get more sleep? How do I? Well, manage yourself in time in order to do that. Hmm. That's critical.
I love all that. And it brings you back to, which is probably a segment for a whole other time, if you don't like the time that you have to, the things that you need to manage, change your life so they're not in your life.
Exactly.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you and I, we're of a certain age and we can make choices perhaps we couldn't when we were younger. We were trying to do things we needed to do to make a lifestyle, to make a career. But when you gather those choices and really give them the attention they need, you can actually build the life you want and you'll have better time management, I suppose.
You have better life management in that time. That's the way to keep thinking about it. And again, it is The Link Is What You Think About This.
This amazing book right here, The Link Is What You Think. And this is his latest book. Also, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's All Small Stuff. And then you had a very valid one that was just so germane for some for society in recent years and decades about the workplace, right?
Right. Ticking bombs, diffusing violence in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to this issue of how do you manage yourself in time? Mm-hmm. Some research has said that for every minute we spend planning, we reduce 10 minutes of wasted time. We Abraham Lincoln was asked, if you had 6 hours to cut down
a tree, what
would you do? He said, I'd spend 4 hours sharpening the blade.
Okay, say that again. I love that. Because I've got this saved in my files. If I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I would what?
I'd spend 4 hours sharpening the blade.
Prepping, getting your tools ready, having the right tool.
And then it's called one touch. If you want to reduce by 80% the amount of energy you put into a project, when you're chopping down that tree, don't stop to go do this or to go do that or to do this.
Oh, wait a minute. This is hard.
No,
this is very difficult.
When you're preparing for this show, mm-hmm. you devote yourself. You say, what's the most important thing I need to do now? What do I need to do now to live my highest and best self? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have got to prepare for this segment. Mm-hmm. I prepare for the segment. I spend X amount of time knowing this is what I'm going to do. I don't think about, you know, I think I'm going to go do this and come back to it. Go do that and come back.
Am I hungry? Does a dog need to go out?
No.
I need to check Twitter?
That's what people do and they waste their life doing that. If you want to maximize your life's time, and it's precious to you, and it is to us.
Time is more precious than money.
Than anything else.
If you haven't found that out yet, you will.
So if you want to really maximize that, then use the one-touch principle. The one-touch principle is plan properly. For every minute you spend planning, you get 10 minutes of freed up execution time, and then one touch. Do it until it's done. Oh, it's done now, I can go do something else.
Do you think it takes people to realize just how much chaos they can save in their lives to do what you are saying?
Waze, the GPS system, knows automatically, take this route if you want to save time. Why don't we do that?
Right.
President Eisenhower has a wonderful matrix. Let's put that up and show people. It's called whether things are important or not important, urgent or not urgent. Now, this looks more complicated. It really isn't. It's simply brilliant. You ask yourself, is this important and urgent? Or is it important and not urgent? If it's important and urgent, do it. If it's important, but it's not that urgent, that means I have time to plan. If it's not important, but it needs to get done, phone calls, someone does an errand, delegate. Mm. If it's not important and it's not even urgent, guess what? Put it away. Eliminate it. You can eliminate, you can automate, you can delegate, you can procrastinate even on those things that are not important and not urgent, but on what's important and urgent, that's where you have to concentrate. Isn't that a beautiful way of understanding what is important?
It is, and you almost have to play a game with yourself, with your mind, and the link is what you think, because I'm one of those people that you can see memes on social media and they talk about, I get so much done in my house while I'm procrastinating about doing the very thing I actually really need to do.
Right.
So it's just double bind, right?
Right. The easy things become hard when they're not done at the right time.
That's so true.
I put
say
that, up.
That. Will you say that again?
Easy things become difficult when they're not done at the right time. I put that on Facebook, and my goodness, the people love that. Let me share real quickly four of the things that I do to keep my life busy.
And
by the way, just so we talk about this, the reason this segment came about was because someone wrote to me and said, hey, you're so busy, you're doing this. Would you please do a presentation on time management? So here we are.
Okay, but I have to say really quick before we move on, he is so active on social media, and every day you put up daily five tips for something germane. So you've got to follow Dr. Mantel. And when you do, if you have something that you would like to see covered, they should write to you. Twitter, Facebook, all of that.
Instagram. Right. We'll cover it. We love these ideas because it becomes very real.
Yeah.
So people out there today are saying, yeah, I wrote and this is what I wanted them to talk about. And they're talking about it. It's as personal as we can do it.
That's it.
Let me share my four quick tips real fast. Ruthless in prioritizing. What's most important? Is it important and urgent or not?
Ooh, be ruthless. I like that.
I think in terms of a clock and a compass. A clock focuses me on how I'm using the time, but the compass points me in the direction that I want to go. So these are two ways of thinking. I don't want to be a firefighter or a perfectionist. Firefighters stop at every little thing and have to put the fire out. Perfectionists are always waiting to get things done.
Are we out now? We have another minute. Dr. Mantel, gotta go. Back after this. I got so caught up in the time management segment that I misinterpreted the time. I thought we had a minute more, but so we want to properly thank the author of The Link Is What You Think, Dr. Michael Mantel, and let you finish your thoughts on it's a myth, right? We have to manage ourselves.
Keep this in mind. It's not time management. It's self-management, life management. And I'll leave you with one simple question. Is this the best and highest way that I can live my life right now? Is this the most important thing I can be doing right now? And if the answer is yes, great. And if it's not, then look inside yourself and ask yourself, is this the way I want to be spending my precious lifetime?
You know, what it boils down to with you every week is, are you living your, I laugh when people say, live your best life. But you can orchestrate your life and develop it in the way you want it and drop the things you don't want and empower the things you do want and just sort of establish it that way. Can I have your Twitter so people can follow you?
Dr. San Diego or Fitness Psych, PSYCH.
And is it drmichaelmantel.com?
Yes, it is drmichaelmantel.com. Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm there.
Oh, we're so glad to see you. We'll see you next time, okay, Doc?
You bet.
Appreciate it. Okay, so we really do like to help you live your best life. And you know what else we're talking about tonight? With our friend of the Mental Health News Radio Network, Kristen Sunana Walker. And she explores the shows of Mental Health News Radio Network right here on her website. She's got a lot of podcasters that help her get the message out about just great mental health and mental... You know, you don't have to be... people put these labels on things. You don't have to have a mental illness. It's very strenuous. It's all on the spectrum to get some help from this thing. And Kristen, welcome back to America Trends.
Hi, Amy. Glad to be here.
You too. And here's the thing that we're doing today. I love, you always talk about being an empath. Like, for instance, we talked recently about, how to identify and avoid people who might have personality disorders that are toxic, like narcissism, sociopaths, psychopaths. And you say if you're an empath, you might fall for it more genuinely than other people. So I just thought it'd be neat to take time to develop and talk about what is an empath.
Well, the definition, there's not a, you know, diagnostic criteria for it, but there are so many counselors that actually come on and do shows about it and want there to be.
Really? That's interesting enough.
But it's the ability to feel and perceive someone else's emotions. And if you don't know that you're an empath, you can actually walk around thinking that those emotions are yours and not someone else's, which leads to thinking that there's something very wrong with you.
I looked up the definition and it said, chiefly in science fiction, a person with the paranormal ability to apprehend the mental and emotional state of another individual. And it made me think of codependence. How is this different from codependency? I always laugh. There's a cartoon I saw years ago that made me laugh. It's a couple sitting at a dinner table, and they're having dinner, and she looks at the husband and says, I can't remember if I don't like salmon or if you don't. Just sums it up, right?
Yeah, there's a fine line. There are a lot of highly, highly empathic people that even go on to the, you know, the higher spectrum, which is an actual empath, that are very codependent because they don't know what they are and they don't know how to protect themselves from what we'd call energy vampires. And that can be extremely, extremely draining for someone who's an empath that doesn't know what they are and how to manage that ability.
So a few things to if you, I don't know if people pay attention to things like this as they're going about their daily lives and taking care of families and career. But if you pay attention and listen, you can find out from Kristen that you could probably navigate life better if you realize maybe you're an empath. And when people don't, Kristen, I always think about this for people who are empaths. When people don't give back like they give, it may be confusing for them. So some of the traits of an empath: highly sensitive.
Right.
Absorb other people's emotions. Introverted, highly intuitive, need alone time to recharge, can be overwhelmed in intimate relationships, are targets for those energy vampires that you mentioned. And anything else, Kristen?
No, that pretty much covers the list really, really well.
Huge. Oh, there's one more. Huge hearts, but sometimes give too much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Overgiving is a big thing. And when we derive our sense of self-worth by what we give to others, because we're constantly feeling other people's emotions. And so that's where it can turn into codependency and being an enabler. So being able to learn and discern what's yours and what belongs to someone else is a highly, highly important skill to develop if you're an empath. And it's a skill for anyone to develop, really.
So if someone is trying to differentiate, and I love that you have your expertise, Kristen Zonawalker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. That's mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Kristen, maybe someone's just a nice person, and that's they do give, but they live a stable, steady life. And how is it? Is there a fine line where it's just, you know what, you're doing a little too much. Focus on yourself. Is there something that's easy to identify?
Yeah, the easily identifiable factor is I have plenty of friends that are not empaths, and they are great, wonderful, giving people. They don't walk into a room and know immediately who has some kind of trauma or upset or joyous thing going on. Other than reading their faces or their body gestures, an empath knows it because they start feeling what that other person is feeling. So there's the difference between the two.
Kristen, why is that?
You know, it's hard to explain, and people love to throw it in the paranormal category, and it really, you know, it's a way to sort of, you know, say it's woo-woo or whatever.
But I've never heard that before till I looked it up today. So it's funny people would think that because I've never thought that.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I've certainly had people argue with me about that on some of my shows. It's just someone who's extremely intuitive. So take intuitiveness to the extreme level, and that's when you have an empath. So you can become someone who becomes like the human garbage can of other people's unresolved emotions if you're not careful. So a tip for people who are highly empathic or an empath is to say throughout the day, you know what, something feels unsettling. I don't know if this is mine or someone else's. So whatever doesn't belong to me, let it go. And you have to practice doing that, because otherwise you are walking around with a whole lot of stuff that doesn't really belong to you. And you already feel a lot when you're an empath. You don't need to add other people's stuff in there along with it.
Yeah, that's huge, because when you talk about it, I just think, again, hard to navigate life because all these things coming toward you and other people who aren't quite as, I don't know, giving and empathetic as you. So thank you for sharing what an empath is, Kristen Zonawalker.
Thank you, Amy.
We'll see you next time. We always appreciate you. Check her out on the Mental Health News Radio Network, mentalhealthnewsradio.com. And we're going to come back right after this and have just a really cute pairing for a new movie trailer. Thanks, Kristen. We sure are glad that you could hang out with us tonight here on America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Thank you to our guest, Steve Hayes from Fairtax.org. And also, just going to, you can go there to find out how he wants to just redo the whole tax code. Vincent Hill, Dr. Michael Mantel, and Kristen Sunata Walker. Appreciate you all. Hope you find us 24/7 on our website, U2America.com. Click through and find us on social media. Thank you to the people who make it all happen. Chris Janikas, Curtis Matovich, Jared Coleman, Sully Sullivan, and a cast of thousands and people at the network. Appreciate you. We're going to... This is the buddy movie we've been waiting for, a buddy series. Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson have never done a show together, and this is going to be pretty epic. It's about Bonnie and Clyde. The Outlaws made headlines. The Lawmen made history. It's a new offering from Netflix called The Highwaymen, and it's coming out in late March, and it looks really good. We wanted to give you a first look. But first, again, thank you for being with us on America Trends on U2 America and Biz Talk Radio. And we will see you next time. Enjoy.
How many bullets you got in you?
16, I think.
Might be good to have a doctor look at you sometime.
Might be good to have a doctor look at you sometime.
I ain't got no bullets in me.
Because I was covering you.
You may have heard there was a prison break. It was Bonnie and Clyde. Governor, this has to end.
They've committed dozens of armed robberies and several cold-blooded murders.
What do you plan to do about Bonnie and Clyde?
We will capture them. Write that down and underline it twice.
There's only one man who can take them down.
I'll come back.
Hey, you got room for one more?
Not even packed. Ah, Judas Priest, get in.
This is 1934. Gangsters, submachine guns. And you put cowboys on Bonnie and Clyde?
Texas Rangers.
This is an emergency alert. Police are not yet releasing details, but have stated that Bonnie and Clyde may have struck again.
Forgive me, Father, for I have seen.
This is a highly coordinated operation.
So much pain and suffering.
Roadblocks, air surveillance.
Your time has passed, cowboy.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Used to be you had to have talent to get published. Now all you gotta do is shoot people.
See the devil dressed in white.
She used her foot to turn him over so he could see what was about to happen.
Sweet.
This has gone far enough. I'm gonna take them down.
What a fine idea.
Let him say,
oh, oh. Who are you, fellas? Suppose we're the bad guys.
Oh, hallelujah to me. I saw the devil.
You come to the wrong place, mister. Around here. Clyde is king.
But he didn't see me.
Clyde might be king, but I'm a Texas Ranger, you little...
No, he didn't see me.